Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Bob, did you see who's getting a statue?
Yes, I did.
Mr. Barry Bonds
out of San Francisco. What do they call it now? Oracle Park, whatever they call it.
I don't know.
What's the name of that place?
I don't know. It used to be AT&T, but they changed it to, I believe, Oracle, Bob, because it's no longer the name of the arena for the Warriors anymore.
Right.
What do you make of this, Bob? Deserved or not deserved?
I think it's very well deserved.
Ron Cook would say probably not deserved.
No, it's very well deserved. Don't you think so? I mean, what he did, how many years he was, 15 years there?
You know where I stand on these things. Yeah. Baseball history is replete with cheats and drug addicts and everything else and bad people. And he was just doing what everybody else was doing at the time, or a lot of people. I think that Jose Canseco was right on when he said that a large percentage of pitchers and hitters were doing performance enhancing drugs. It's a sport with a history of cheating, basically. You know what I mean? So, you know, if they wanted to put an asterisk in the Baseball Hall of Fame next to these guys,
they have a lot of asterisks.
That's fine. But he still should be in, and he absolutely should get a statue.
I've always said my criteria is if the league allows you to play, and the league benefits by you playing, and they make it possible, then you should be judged on what you do. At no point was he told you can't play because of this. So he played, and he played well, and he is the home run leader. I still acknowledge that.
So do I. Do you limits?
No, Hank Aaron is.
Oh, wow.
Now we've taken a turn, Bob.
Why would you say that?
Because Bonds was clearly on PEDs, and as far as everybody knows or everyone's concerned, Hank Aaron was not. And I consider Hank Aaron the true home run champion with his number.
So why then didn't the league say, hey, we know you're on PEDs and we're going to suspend you like they do now? There are 80-game suspensions if they find these stuff out.
Because there was obviously enough suspicion, but not enough to be able to. It's like,
well, then why
do you know,
you
do you know who
make,
else was
it's
on
It's like
it?
When you're trying to convict somebody in like a murder case. We had a ton of evidence against you, but it was not enough to sway the jury to be able to convict.
You're letting a lack of evidence then affect you. You're deciding, you've made the conclusion that he's guilty even though he wasn't during that time.
I personally think there's enough evidence to be able to say that with everything that came out with all the cases. And
are you sure who was on it and off it at that time? All the people who were on and off?
No, you can't be 100% sure.
Okay,
but
exactly.
I'm pretty confident as Bonds ballooned and lost all his hair and immediately, and his head blew up like a pumpkin too, and his body completely changed. And at 37, 38, he was mashing, what, 40, 45 homers?
Yes, it seemed fairly obvious, but you're discounting the idea that a bunch of the pitchers he was hitting them off were on stuff too, and so were a lot of the other players, and we don't know who was and wasn't at the time. We know a bunch of people were using. So,
and he is one of the head honchos for that, I feel like. He's one of the
good for
top
him.
People in that regard. Him and Roger Clemens were the faces of the era.
The New York Times, Bill Pennington put it best when he penned this, Bob, pun intended. The Hall of Fame, the Hall of Farce is what I like to put it in baseball, is a museum that already includes, as Pennington said, and I quote, multiple virulent racist, drunks, cheats, brawlers, drug users, and at least one acknowledged sex addict. So it's already a museum filled with bad people who cheated in many ways. So why single out Bonds limits?
I'm not just singling out Bonds.
Well, he's the notable one. Why single out the alleged steroid users? Well, what about all these other people who got in, who cheated?
Yeah, the Hall of Fame is not a perfect science whatsoever. Like, Pudge Rodriguez is also another suspected PED user. He has gotten in. That does not mean, even though a couple others have gotten in, that, okay, well, let's just immediately let everybody else in. Let's just immediately flood the hall with guys that if you want to put an asterisk on them, if you want to make it known, like, you know, there is a lot of clear evidence that suggests that this is what actually happened, fine. I'm okay with that. But I think that there should be an asterisk included on it.
I'm fine with the asterisk.
That's fine, too, but you will
acknowledge. You have to acknowledge what actually happened.
Sure, that's what we're saying. And he was allowed to do it, and the league knew it.
Bob, this took a turn with Limits taking a strong stand here on Ron. If only Ron was here.
I've always been very strong on this, that, you know, the Bonds home run record and Bonds in the Hall of Fame. I don't stand for it.
You don't want Bonds in the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't stand for it.
I like this.
Not at all.
In fact, I love it.
Like, A-Rod, he got caught. He was suspended.
Well, what's your criterion for identifying people who are definitely on steroids? If they're in the Mitchell report, if a journalist named them, if a book named them, like, how do you decide who you keep in and out?
Well, and I also think that over the years, the way that Bonds has handled himself with the entire thing, who was it that destroyed the evidence? Was it Clemens that destroyed?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Well, yes, he did that with all the Spygate and the Deflategate footballs, but there are just a lot of things that have transpired over the years and a lot of evidence that is built up, whether it be the numbers that he put up, whether it be the way that his body was transformed, whether it be the Mitchell report and the evidence that was put out there. I think of the biogenesis thing that went on even further down the road, and that named a lot of newer age people.
I'm not going to disagree with all of that because you're right. It's out there and people can make conclusions. But my thing is, if the league allows it, they were also, you know, part and parcel of this. They knew what was going on, and they didn't do a thing about it. So therefore, without the clearest of evidence, which is you're making a stand because you have it, you've decided to suspend him, that never happened. You can make whatever case you want, and I get it, Austin, I do. But I also know that they liked what was going on, and they allowed it to happen. And since they did, therefore it should be counted.
Let me pass this by you, Limits.
Sure.
How many football teams do you think have steroids in their histories? How many football teams have done stuff to enhance their own abilities? Would you put an asterisk by every team that won a Super Bowl? Because likely there are people on those teams, every one of them, who did something there.
Yeah, we're talking about Bonds and Clemens, two of the greatest ever to play the game.
Which is why they should be in the Hall of Fame.
Let me pass this by you, oh limitless wonder. Because the Ron Cook Clause, otherwise known as the Character Clause, and by the way, how anybody deemed that sports writers should be able to invoke a morality clause on people. I know a lot of sports writers. I was one. I still am one. I'm not sure they should be inflicting their version of morality on anybody, Bob.
You're right, because everyone has flaws.
You were reading a text.
I'm sorry I got distracted there, but no, and you're right, though.
I don't want them imposing their morality on anybody else, their moral codes.
When you make it simple, you make it better. Simple as this. You played, we judge. That's it. I don't need to know about anything else about
you,
what you
did. If you cheated, so did a lot of other people.
That's why Antonio Brown should be seriously considered.
If there was a character issue, okay, so what? Let me pass this by Limits. Bob, I need your full and undivided attention. You remember the Pittsburgh drug trials of 85?
Yes, of course.
A lot of players implicated, a lot of players suspended.
Correct.
Cocaine use was rampant.
Yes.
You have said Dave Parker belongs in the Hall of Fame, right?
Are we saying that cocaine is a performance-enhancing drug?
Oh, so only if it's a performance enhancer, but not.
Don't you think that should matter? I mean, you're cheating to be significantly better at the game.
Should we be awarding cheating?
Does cocaine help you get up for a game? I don't know.
I don't know, Joe. I've never tried it, and I don't intend to.
But okay. Apparently, it does get you going.
Well, that's not the only thing, Limits. At that trial, a bunch of players were granted immunity in exchange for giving testimony, right?
I'm sure.
And ex-pirate John Milner talked about getting amphetamines from Willie Mays and Willie Stargell. Does that disturb you at all? Because amphetamines would absolutely allow you to keep playing games at a high level.
Absolutely.
So when we're talking performance enhancers, are you talking just muscle enhancers? Or are you talking significant?
The question is enhancing.
The question is, what are you talking? Because you're the one who has a problem with it.
Right. What I'm talking about is muscle enhancers, and also I think one thing that you're pointing out is like longevity, to make sure that you can stay as healthy as possible for as long as possible.
Well, to make sure you're up for every game.
Yeah, to make sure you're on the field.
Amphetamines would be a big help. They used to call them greenies.
And what about those people like David Ortiz? We just got a texter. He reminded me of this. A guy who then went on this wonderful love affair media tour, right? And he ends up getting the nod. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I just think he's, limits and,
but
my,
he's used
was
it.
He suspended?
I don't know if he was or wasn't, but to me it doesn't matter. He was allowed to play.
Was Bonds ever suspended for steroids?
Bonds was never suspended, no. I mean, the testing was different with Ortiz than it was, and with A-Rod than it was for Bonds and Clemens.
I just think once you start weeding people out like that, based on either, quote, character or performance enhancers, in quotes, you open a gigantic can of worms where if you're not consistent,
yeah, you do.
if you're not consistent the whole way through, it just comes off as arbitrary punishment and hypocritical, quite frankly.
How's it hypocritical? Do you think I have a personal bias against Barry Bonds, who I've never seen play and has never met?
I just told you, you're punishing a guy for enhancing his muscles, but you're not punishing a guy for taking amphetamines.
You don't think that that's different?
I think they fall into the same
and
category.
And they both have the same
performance
results.
Enhancers.
They're enhancers. They enhance your performance.
The way I look at it is, and McCutchen talked about how a lot of the balls are dying on the track this year and there's nothing really that baseball can do about it. The way I kind of look at it is, if you're doing performance enhancers to basically increase testosterone and increase muscle enhancement, that those are the type of balls that McCutchen's been hitting to the warning track, a clean player, that are getting out to enhance what McCutchen might hit 20 this year. That becomes 40 for another player. That's my main crux of the argument.
You don't know that for sure. You don't know how many feet it would result in. How about the pitcher who's on it you don't know, and he pumps it up there another 4 miles an hour because of it, but you don't know that, so you're going to give him credit without knowing? I don't know. That's why I say it. Austin, to me, it's a simple solution. You're playing, we judge you. That's it. The league controls who plays and who doesn't, and if they don't want to enforce something that they believe is important, then it's on them, not Barry Bonds, not anyone else who's taken whatever they're taking.
It's definitely not a black or white situation. You know, I mean, there's a lot of gray area in the entire argument, the entire debate. Like, there's no perfect science to this.
But you want a perfect science to apply to his installment as a Hall of Famer. And you don't want him to have a statue because you think...
I don't care about the statue. I mean, if you have a statue in San Francisco for what he did, sure. But I think having a statue is completely different than whether your record should be acknowledged or whether
should
you should
Pirates
be in the Hall of Fame.
Retire his number?
No, I don't think so.
Why? He didn't cheat here.
Well,
how many other people have won more MVPs than him in a Pirate uniform?
And he could have had a lot more.
Yeah, and he should have won it in, what, 91 as well?
Yeah.
I'm fine with him being in the Pirates Hall of Fame. Statue, I feel like statue should be reserved for players that just win championships, and they're also in the Hall of Fame. You said retired number, though, right? Do you say number or statue?
I said retired number. He's in the Pirates Hall of Pirates Hall of Fame.
I do find it interesting that the Pirates have...
He's the only Pirate in history to win multiple MVP awards.
Then why have they handed out his number so frequently?
Well, because they haven't retired it. Because I don't know why.
They didn't hand out McCutchen's after he left.
That's a different question than the one we're perusing here.
No, you said should they retire his number, and brought up the fact, and I brought up the fact that they've been handing out 24 to players year after year after year.
Yeah, they have.
McCutchen, they never did after McCutchen left.
What's your point?
My point of the matter is, I think they're going to retire McCutchen's number, and they have no intention of ever retiring Bonds' number because of those two points.
What 2 points?
That they have continuous... Bob, do you understand what I'm saying?
No, you're naming facts. The question is, should they? I'm aware that they've handed out Bonds' number. And I'm aware that they seem to have a better relationship than McCutchen, who's the most popular player around here since Willie Stargell. Whereas Bonds had some issues here, and they maybe resent the fact that he left. I don't know.
But I think they do.
He was a... And you're defending them for that. You don't think his number should be retired.
I wouldn't be like one of the first people in line to try to be advocating for it, but I don't think that I would completely resent it if it happened.
You're backing off a little bit.
A little bit, yes.
I would be the first person in line saying that Barry Bonds, as the only multiple-time MVP winner in the history of this franchise, deserves to have his number retired. You know who else does? Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, I think he should. But they're very slow to do that, and that number's still out there. But
it's another guy whose relationship with the city and the team hasn't been great over the years, right?
I understand that, but I try to make this as simple as possible. How he played, how he did, judge it. That's it.
So why haven't the Steelers retired his number?
I mean,
retired his number. He should have a statue, by the way, Terry Bradshaw. That's how great he was, Bob.
I mean, 4 Super Bowls and 4 opportunities. Yeah, can't do anything better than that. So, but I mean, this argument will go on forever because there's always going to be people who bring in other things other than the actual performance on the field. You're right, Joe. Once they brought in the morality clause on these stuff, that, I mean, you're throwing everything into the pot now. And that includes those who vote. Those who vote have sometimes far egregious problems, and they're voting.
And Terry Bradshaw, is critical. He's critical of the Steelers. He's been critical of Tomlin. He's critical of whatever he wants. Who cares? He should be brought back here while he's still among us, and they should pay him the ultimate tribute, and they should retire his jersey for everyone to see and have a giant celebration, because I think as unbelievably great as the 70s Steelers were, they're probably a 1 or 2 Super Bowl team without Terry Bradshaw. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think his ability to make those big plays in big situations, really incomparable with his time. The numbers don't always suggest that he had good games or he had good seasons, but when it mattered, he put the ball where he had to put the ball.
I think the greatest clutch deep ball passer who ever lived, Bob.
You can make that argument for sure. Clutch, yes. I used to always remember Daryl LaMonica throwing the ball down the field. And I always liked how those throws were, but he didn't win like Bradshaw won. So, you remember Daryl LaMonica?
Of course, the Mad Bomber.
He can throw it.
What did you think of how this conversation took a turn with Limits taking a stand? I actually respect him for that. I just strongly disagree with it.
Yeah, and he started to move the other way.
Did he move off his spot, Bob?
Well, he kind of softened it a little bit.
Yeah, he did, come to think of it.
But that's okay. He can do that.
I respect that as well.
He says what a lot of people think, and I agree with that. I understand why they have that feeling. But I also think, to make it a lot easier on everybody, just do it based on what we see.
I softened off of it a little bit, but the main point of what I believe did not change, or does not change. And a lot of people have still chimed in, whether it be on the text line or also on the phone line.
And your main point is, of all the many, many cheaters in baseball history, performance enhancers, like that other guy said, drunks, whatever.
What do drunks and what does that have to do with being with performance on the field?
Well, there's a character clause. So that can be invoked any way a sports writer wants to invoke it. In other words, if you think somebody's a horrible person, you don't put them in the Hall of Fame.
But, yeah, they did that with Curt Schilling.
But let's just talk about... They did?
And Omar Vizquel. I mean, Omar Vizquel did some really bad things off the field.
Right, so they can invoke it any way they want.
Yeah, that's how they've invoked
that's
it.
That's why I made that point. But of all the people being kept out under the character clause, the only ones that you think is justified are steroid users, correct?
The only ones?
The only ones being kept out of the Hall of Fame under the character clause that you agree with keeping out of the Hall of Fame are steroid users.
You can't put every situation into one box. Okay. You can't. You would have to need to know more information about every character clause
and a moral clause opens up everything.
The only time you think it's been invoked correctly is to keep out steroid users, correct?
No. I mean, I need to know the full story about other players and other things. Like, if somebody killed somebody, yeah, of course they should not be put into the Hall of Fame.
I can guarantee you there's at least 1 or 2 people in the Baseball Hall of Fame who have probably killed somebody, Bob.
Probably in the Football Hall of Fame, too.
definitely in the Football Hall of Fame.
I mean...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I agree with Bob, you know, that's why you keep it simple. And by the way, unfortunately, pro football hasn't kept it simple. And the story broke on this show with Gary Myers, mm-hmm. a voter from the New York Daily News, last year told us that he felt like T.O. was kept out on a character clause because of how he was in the locker room. And more to the point, that the Pro Football Hall of Fame told voters you're allowed to take that into consideration. I never knew that. And he thinks Antonio Brown may be kept out
for the same reason.
Yeah. So they have actually that's quietly invoked a character clause, not in their actual
constitution of deciding who's in and out. It's not written in there at all. Like
it should just be kept very simple.
Megan Sweeney on Twitter says this: I would not retire Barry Bonds' number because of his refusal to position himself in the right position, causing him not to be able to throw out Sid Bream from shallow left field.
I actually like that, but I don't agree with that either.
No, I don't either. Why does Chico Lean get no pushback at all for that inning? His error, every time we talk about it, somebody rips him. Chico Lean?
Yes.
But they don't do it originally. It's always Barry Bonds.
Well, he's the lightning rod. He allegedly didn't listen to Van Slyke before the play.
I get that, and he was wrong. But what I'm saying is that inning took a turn when that error went right between his legs.
I know. So what's the bottom line on Limits' stance here, Bob?
He's not going to change, and he's not going to know for sure who is or who isn't on performance-enhancing drugs. Nobody knows.
There are ways
people can mask it all, and you'll never know.
Yeah. What do the texters say, Limits? Give us the good and the bad, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, there's a little bit of both. It's a lot of people saying that they believe that Hank Aaron is the true home run king.
Mm-hmm.
One person saying they're with me. Somebody else thinking that I have a personal vendetta against Barry Bonds,
ooh,
which doesn't make any sense. I've never met Barry Bonds, and I wasn't alive to watch Barry Bonds play when he was here with the Pirates, so that makes absolutely no sense. And then somebody says that nothing Bonds, Clemens, and company did was against the rules of baseball at the time. Steroids were not against the rules of baseball until the Mitchell Report. Is that true?
I'll be honest with you. I would have to double check on that one, Bob. Do you know that?
I don't know that. I would double check on that, yes.
Some things that might be against
the
law
are
not against rules of the sport.
But do you see how complicated this whole thing is
getting? It gets complicated.
Because now you're into subjective areas. You say it's not black or white. It is a gray area here. Now you're bringing into things that may not affect people one way
and
affect others the other. But again, we're going away from what that whole intention of that group is supposed to do, which is to vote in the players who've reached the very best, the pinnacle of their sports, the Hall of Fame of sports. And it's become less so over the years, because a lot of people who shouldn't get in do get in. I don't know what people are thinking about, but if you allow these clauses to get in part of it, you have no idea who's going to vote for what. And that's what confuses me, and I don't want to think about it. Austin, you watch. At the end of Paul Skeens' career, you'll know where he sits. And if you find out along the way that he once did something that he wasn't supposed to do, are you going to immediately say, and he wasn't suspended for it, that he shouldn't be in?
That's a great question, Bob. I would have to evaluate the situation and see what the facts and the details are.
Okay, but the facts of the details of Barry Bonds were he was never suspended.
I understand that. But, I mean, that was also at a time where, to say it's a point that you guys also brought up, Major League Baseball was completely okay with hiding it because the home run chases of 97, 98, they brought the game back.
How about the Astros cheating? The trash bags, all that, knowing which pitches were coming.
I would be completely fine if somebody used that against Altuve and guys like that for the Hall of Fame, yeah.
Bob, you're going to keep somebody out of the Hall of Fame for trash bags?
That is a big part of the game that goes on all the time. People are trying to steal signals all the time, and I agree with this. That went too far. How do you feel about Bill Belichick?
What do you agree with?
Well, I mean, you could steal signals, saying that
you keep people out of the Hall of Fame.
No, I understand what he's saying about it. I think that went too far when they ripped the microphone away from his chest.
Yes.
But just to be clear, you wouldn't keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
No, if Altuve is trending in that direction, he still has to perform on the field. Belichick, would you vote for him for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I would.
That goes against what you're saying.
I'm aware of that.
Wait a second. You would vote for Belichick based on your stance, your moral stance against Barry Bonds? Belichick demonstrably cheated by stealing signals, which gave him, or should have given him, an advantage in gigantic football games.
Yeah, then I guess maybe in that argument that I should vote Bill Belichick not to get into the Hall of Fame then. I've never thought about it with Belichick, to be completely honest. As much as I've thought about it with the steroid users in all of baseball, and I'd never thought about it with Belichick until right now.
Bob, what do you make of limits flip-flopping like an Olympic gymnast?
I think this is, again, the problem that all voters have, trying to figure
then
out who's
make it
in.
Easy on
and
yourself.
Make it easy. That's all I'm saying. Austin, you can make your life a lot easier by not thinking about all this stuff.
I don't think about it on a daily basis.
The game decides who plays and who doesn't play. If the game is okay with what's going on and they elect to either turn a blind eye or just not invoke it because it's good for the game, so be it. That player is allowed to play. If baseball says, no, we're suspending you for 80 games because like Starling Marte had, you know, then all of a sudden that's part of your argument. And it's also part of my argument. Then I would say, okay, baseball decided that this was not, then I would say they decided it, therefore I'm going to judge that as part of it. But I'm also going to say if he wasn't ever suspended and he had this kind of record, I can't ignore the record, nor will I ignore him getting a statue. I will applaud that for San Francisco because he made a big difference in so many years over there. I don't know. Am I a softy?
I didn't hear what you said, Bob.
I know, you're busy over there.
I lost track in the middle of it. I'm trying to keep track of some things over here.
Do we have callers on this subject or tweeters or whatever?
Yes, here's Greg in Youngstown.
Uh-oh. Greg.
Hello, Greg.
Greg, watch out.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, you Hall of Fame, yes. Retirees number, Bonds, no. And he doesn't get to keep those records. Because I played baseball, and I think it's disgusting when somebody has to take steroids to be to hit the ball, you know, farther than somebody else.
How about if they have to take amphetamines just to get on the field every day? How about spitballs? And how about using trash bags to steal signals and video stealing signals to hit home runs?
If you know that affected how many home runs you hit, steroids, there's a correlation between home runs and steroids. No, you shouldn't have the record. Amphetamines does not mean you're going to hit more home runs.
Why are you separating that form of cheating from the million others since baseball was invented?
Because it makes you hit more home runs.
It allows you to hit more home runs.
How about the pitcher who has
spitball allows you to allow less home runs.
Listen, if you're a home run hitter, and we know Bonds hit all those home runs because he took steroids, everybody knows it.
Baseball apparently didn't know it. They didn't care.
They knew it.
Here's the thing, Bob. It's about these hallowed numbers that the sports writers of the world feel so indignant that all of a sudden the magical 715 was breached by a cheater. It's about the magical numbers that they feel personally violated, and apparently so do some fans out there.
One more thing. Do you think Canseco would have been in the Major League Baseball if he wasn't taking steroids? That clown hit so many home runs because he took steroids. This guy was not that great of a ball player in the long run.
Do I think he would have been in the major leagues? What are you out of your mind?
His brother had
42. He was one of the few 40-40 players in history. You still have to hit the ball. In one season,
he took steroids.
Help you actually hit the ball, hand eye?
You hit the ball farther.
Does it help you make contact? He hit 307 with 40 steals 1 year. What are you talking about?
So if he has 15 home runs instead of 40 home runs?
15 instead of 40.
Difference.
Oh, my God.
Really, if he doesn't take his steroids, he's not going to have that many home runs. He had a twin brother. Why wasn't he in the Major League Baseball? Same genetics.
Well, Mario Lemieux has a brother, too, Elaine. He was never as good as Mario was, too. Yeah.
He had a twin brother. It's the same genetics. This guy should have been just as good as his brother, and he wasn't. Because Canseco was taking steroids.
Genetics don't work always that way. How many kids have you seen who have totally different
kind of... You ever hear of Dom DiMaggio?
Listen, I'm just telling you, his brother wasn't any good. And this guy hit 40 home runs because he was doing steroids every year. And I'm not saying he was... maybe, and it makes you faster, too. Makes you recover
faster.
But you
said you'd put him in the Hall of Fame, though, right?
No, I would do Bonds, because Bonds wasn't taking steroids half of his career. I'm okay with Bonds. But Canseco took it his whole career, and I just have no respect for that dude at all. Now,
well, that's
okay
fine
with.
To have no respect for him, but that's a different conversation.
I don't know. I think those steroids made these guys way better than what they were. Way better.
There's no question about that. But what else in baseball history where people have cheated that made them way better than they were? Why pick on this one?
What do you mean by cheating?
Spitballs would be an example. Amphetamines would be an example. Stealing signs would be an example.
Come on, no.
Steroids, no.
Guys, twice as good, three times as good as they were. Bonds is a great ball player, and I'm sad to see he took those steroids because that tainted his career. It really did. He shouldn't have taken those steroids.
Henrik Lundqvist has a twin brother named Joel. Why isn't he in the Hall of Fame as a goalie?
But Canseco was no good, his brother.
So, all right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Greg.
What is happening here, Bob?
I don't know. Oh.
What has happened?
We just started with a simple conversation about a statue out in front of Oracle Park for Barry Bonds.
Remember Dick and Tom Van Arsdale, Bob? They were twins.
Yeah, but you know, genetics don't work the same way with each. It's all different.
Listen, you'll agree on this, Limits, I'm sure. Steroids absolutely could help you hit the ball further. They don't help you make contact in the first place.
I do agree with that.
You hit 307 in the major leagues on your own, and you steal 40 bases on your own. Canseco was unbelievable as a player when he was in his prime.
He was.
Remember when the ball bounced off his head, Bob?
Yeah.
If he wasn't on steroids, does that happen?
His head was bigger.
It might not.
Bigger landing spot. I don't know.
A bigger landing strip on his cranium. Imagine if a ball fell off Malzi's head. It would cross the whole country in an hour.
Oh,
have you
my.
Seen Malzi's cranium lately? Limits.
I feel like it grows every day.
I know. If a baseball went off Malzi's head, it would be like one of those little super balls, Bob. Do you remember those? Did you
balls,
play with those
yeah.
as,
oh,
a,
yeah.
as a kid?
Great bounce ability. A launching
right.
pad.
Where do we go from here, Limits? This took a turn, and I commend you for that.
Well, didn't we?
I don't know.
We
got
either.
Want to go to the stuff on skeins that Bob wanted to get to that we never got to?
Not really, no.
Or can we finally do the college football topic that you brought up that we never talked about?
No, it's boring.
What do you mean it's boring?
I told you, it's boring.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Bob. It was supposed to be an epic pitching matchup yesterday, and Paul Skeens had a bad day. You know, it's that simple. And everybody has one of those. He's been amazing. He's been great. It's just unfortunate it happened on that particular day. The part I don't understand is why he was going to be limited going into the game. Did you read that whole thing?
I didn't understand that either, especially in this situation. With Ms. Roski on the mound opposite him and those two guys, I would have thought.
Has anybody told the Pirates that Skeens won't be here for very long? So while they have him, they might as well use him?
Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, Jamie Dixon not using Steven Adams, who I thought should have played a lot, even though he was only a freshman.
I guess I just didn't get that, why he was going to be limited anyway.
I would have, yeah. To me, he's pitching a lot.
But as far as the game itself went, I keep it in the back of my mind when somebody is sort of scattered with their pitches like that. It's slightly worrisome because you never know what's going on. But I think it was just a bad day. He couldn't command anything. And everybody has one.
He gets zero runs of support while
right.
he was in there, too. I mean,
right.
so every little pitch matters. You got to be perfect. I'm sure he's used to doing that. But, man, if the Pirates, and I saw Zangrilli threw this out, which was a good stat, when they score five runs in their last nine times they've done it, they've won every game. What about bailing him out once in a while?
You're right. You know, and they would have won
him?
Last night, too.
Yeah, how about a seven run out to help him out?
Exactly. How about one time helping him out? So bottom line there is that's not a big story to me at all. It's just Skeens having an off day, which he had absolutely earned. The bigger story and the biggest story on this team right now, other than the trade deadline, is O'Neill Cruz. What has happened here? He's about to go below the Mendoza line. This dude is batting 148 this month with three extra base hits and 81 at-bats, 32 strikeouts. this looks like me playing golf. Like, he forgot how to swing, how to play. And you combine that with the hustling issues and Don Kelly demoting him in the lineup down to fifth. What do you make of it all, Bob?
Well, first of all, he wouldn't have played for me yesterday.
And me neither.
I realize that you're going against a really stud young pitcher and you want to get offense, and offense has been a problem. But I would have just made, you know, if you're going to do that, take him out of a game, then to me, the next thing is to sit him a game and just say, look, the message has to be delivered. If it's not, you're going to see more of this kind of, you know, these are adults here at some point. You know, I mean, everyone's making everybody sound like, well, you know, you have to go at it with kid gloves. You're a professional. You're being paid to be a professional. Professionals do the right things, which are hustle on every single play. That's the minimum you should expect. And if you don't get it, and after, I thought it was interesting that Don Kelly did give him the benefit of the doubt in the game against Texas when he had the ball drop in front of him, and then he had to go behind him, and he never moved. He actually came back and said he did well after that. If you paid attention to, you know, he was hustling. Okay, good. But then it happened again, which means that whatever Donnie Kelly was trying to do that first time did not work. So then he had to pull him out of a game. Right. And I would have gone one more step, and I would have not played him yesterday. It wouldn't have helped. They don't score anyway. So.
Well, what about Cruz in general? I mean, even now, to me, the far bigger story than his malfunctions in the outfield and on the bases, as far as, you know, not hustling, is just him as a ball player. It's just it hasn't happened yet. Now, he's still fairly young. He's 26. I think he's really only in his second full major league season, but it's getting worse and not better. The pitch recognition, the command of the strike zone, the swing and miss, it's starting to feel like, are these things that are just always going to be with him? Is he going to be batting in the 100s? It's one thing if Kyle Schwarber bats 196 with 38 homers, I'll live with it. This guy has one home run since May 28th, and he's down to, like I said, he's down to what, 205? His OPS is down to 715. It's certainly not a guy right now that I'd want to invest money in, or, and maybe Limits will come in and turn this topic to Bob, do you buy low? Do you buy low on O'Neill Cruz right now? Limits?
So you're saying deal him at the deadline?
No, I'm saying offer him his long-term contract now, so you're essentially paying for him when he's at his lowest point, instead of, oh yeah, now we're going to offer him a contract that he's in an MVP race or something. You know what I mean?
Joe, we're back on track. I 1,000% agree with you.
I didn't say I just posed the question.
I would do that, yeah. Yeah. I would at least, you know, offer him a Brian Reynolds contract right now.
Bob?
That's affordable.
No, Bob, is this the best time to offer him?
It may be, but I'm not doing it. Because I feel like if I reward him now, of course, he would turn it down, I'm sure. If you're coming back.
Would he?
Would he? How much money are we talking about?
How much money? What was the Reynolds deal?
8-107?
8-107.
You think they would make that kind of commitment right now to him? After everything?
Jeff Passan thinks he's a $200 million player.
Does he think that now? Because he's still struggling. I don't know how long it takes
to find
that out.
I don't know if he thinks that, but 8-107 is peanuts in Major League
Baseball.
Maybe so.
But also ask yourself what happened to Ke'Bryan Hayes' once franchise-friendly number.
Well, I'm actually with you. I'm not offering O'Neill Cruz right now because I'm very concerned about the trajectory of this guy's career.
I am too, and that's why I would wait. I think you have to earn these things. You know, he has the power. He has all the tools. The thing about it is he has the tools. It's about committing. It's about being in there and not just, you know, trying to hit the longest velo home run you could hit. I think that takes over in today's generation of players. That's why you see strikeouts and not putting the ball in play. Honestly, he could hit a home. If he would swing like he's just trying to make contact, he would get enough home runs based on his speed. He wouldn't have to overswing. And I think by overswinging, he puts himself in bad situations and strike zone counts.
I know. And last year, I thought he made some progress against lefties. Like, if you tell me you can slug 420 with an OPS of around 700 against lefties, that's great.
That's real good.
But this year, he has backslid to the point where he's 8-73 with one home run. He's, like, unplayable against lefties. Of course, that hasn't stopped both of their managers from batting him leadoff against lefties, which makes zero sense. Do you agree with that?
Well, I would, you know, there was a time where I thought he needed to go and do that just because ultimately he's going to face left-handers. And
I'm not saying don't play him. I'm saying don't lead him off against lefties.
Right. I like him in the leadoff spot. Generally, I do. But he has all the talent in the world to be that guy. He could be the Schwarber, only better kind of guy because he has the speed to do it. But it's on him to show it, and it's on him to, you know, at least, and first of all, I guess the excuse that he used the other day was he wasn't sure there were two outs in the inning.
There was only three batters in the inning.
Yeah,
he
how
was
do
the
you
third
not know
batter.
That? That's equally as bad. You cannot.
He thought there
game
were two
situations,
outs. Yeah.
I mean, whatever it was, he missed. Come on, you can't do that. That goes without saying. We shouldn't have to be sitting here talking about whether or not you know how many outs there are.
I know, but also let's not make him the only guilty one. When the things you're trying to sell are hustle and good fundamental baseball, in that same game, Majinski failed to cover first base. Remember that?
Yeah, there's a
Gonzalez
lot of it.
Got thrown out on the bases. I've talked about Adam Frazier, in recent weeks, unable to lay down a sacrifice bunt until he finally did it the third at bat he was asked in recent games, and all the other stuff that happens with them. Joey Bart not even making it to first base on a ground out in a recent game. So to me, the bigger story is simply O'Neill Cruz's production and what exactly is he going to be?
I mean, that's still the question we're answering. And
that's the problem.
That's why I would not do what you suggest. On the surface, it sounds like a good deal for the team. But we've seen these things backfire on them.
I know.
And
it's the oldest
Jose
story in
Tabata
the book.
Jose Tabata was another example of somebody they fell in love with and thought he could be, and they gave him a franchise-friendly deal, and then it didn't work out.
But I do hear what Limits is saying. That's why I brought up the topic. There is something to be said for buying low.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that a little more, oh, Limitless Wonder.
Well, I feel like in just the current economic state of baseball, that Brian Reynolds deal, that's not much. You're talking about, what, the end of that contract, 18, 19, 20 million?
Right. They could pay that easily if they wanted to with everybody on free agency. They can go not 100 million. I'm talking about 15 to 20 million a year for a 1 or 2 year guy.
And think about how it's going to continue to increase and continue to go up, which I do wonder too, Bob. At some point, it has to plateau, right? Like,
well,
you would think at
you
some
would
point.
Think, but it doesn't seem to be going in that
the year
direction.
Is 2050.
Which is why next year, at the end of the year, when they have the CBA, I'm wondering what, because Players Association won't want any limitations on how high their contracts can go.
Like, will Tommy Pham's 1 year, $4 million deal this year at some point in like 2050 be 1 year, $15 million? Like, is that the new standard? I wonder. But the fact on Cruz for me, yeah, I'm worried and I'm concerned about what position does this guy play, because center field, there are still lots of lapses in judgment that went away for a time, but seeming like they have returned. I am just banking on the upside that we've seen at the major league level. A lot of it with Tabata and Polanco was what was seen in the minor league level. We've seen Cruz able to do it. Now, I would not offer this deal without some hesitancy. But if you want to try to find an anchor point in your lineup that has been so poor the last 5 years.
If Jeff Passan goes on record and saying he's a $200 million player and O'Neill Cruz's people hear this, would he take that even if you offered
it? I think
it?
There's a good chance he would.
I do too.
Because he's an unusual case where he had, I won't say career threatening, but a very traumatic leg injury. So he knows how fast it can all go away. He's also at a low point in his career. If he's guaranteed right now $100 million plus, I'm not saying he would take it, but man, he'd have to be awfully tempted.
Maybe,
I think
maybe so, but his agent would have a lot to say in that as well.
Of course.
And so I just think it's risky right now. If it's up to me, I'm not doing that right now. There was a time where I probably would have said yes to this, but not now.
This is a disaster, Bob. I mean, this guy's been here, Ben Cherington, 6 years and has yet to bring the Pirates a hitter. Think about that statement. Please think about that for a moment.
No, I have been, because that's been the one thing that's continued to ail them. Wasted starts. I mean, you could make a case this year that if they had the kind of hitting that you would expect, averaging 4 to 5 runs a game, I don't think that's all that much either, by
Limits,
the way.
Did you steal the golf ball I had here?
No, but it did. I think it's on the floor. Remember it fell whenever you were almost getting electrocuted?
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. Bob, do you think I'm going to play well today? Do you think it's going to rain?
You had a lightning delay later. You might get one again today.
Oh,
what happens
God's
if that
sakes.
Happens?
Well, then I have to be at this fan. What's it called? Is there an official
name
for this?
The Iron Rock Tap
Next
House.
Up.
Yes,
next up on the fan.
I'm judging that tonight with Malzi.
So what are you going to be looking for as a judge?
From the Iron Rock Tap House, 7 to 9 p.m., by the way, in Greensboro.
What are you going to be looking at?
somebody who has strong opinions and delivers them in an entertaining, informative way. I'm looking for uniqueness as well. I'm looking for people. This is what I would tell my students at Waynesburg, Bob. Look at Glenn Close. Do you remember this movie? Is this the one where she becomes the obsessed lover? What was that called? It's a famous Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction, yeah. I don't think this is it, is it?
No.
No.
Here's what I told my students. I would say, how do you people get your news these days? They all say my phone from Twitter or social media. How many different things do you look at per day? A million. And I'd say, well, why do you stay with one? And they would say the obvious, because it draws me in from the very first word or image. Great. Period. That's the way it's been since the 1800s in sports writing, whatever form of media has come along. You better draw me in with your lead if you're writing, or with the very first things you say if you're on the radio or on television or on social media, wherever, whatever you're doing, it's essentially a lead. And it needs to be good, and it needs to make me want to stay. That's what I'm looking for tonight, Bob. If I get bored, if I have to, you know, figure it out, if I have to wait, I'm out. You better grab my attention, and I'm going to wager to say Malzi's immediately by being unique,
so they only
funny,
have 2
entertaining,
minutes?
Controversial, yeah. Something. You better get it right away.
And they only have 2 minutes to do this?
Yes.
You better get to it quickly then. You're right. Because if you don't, you're going to run out of time. And that's the worst thing that happened. You haven't made your point yet.
Like trip photographer Chaz Palace says on his answering machine, Bob, when it comes on, time's a-wasting, start explaining. That's what he says.
I think that's a good way to look at it, too.
Do you like that message for an answering machine on a phone?
Yes.
Limits to you?
Yeah, I think it's unique. It's fascinating.
Are you going to participate tonight in this contest?
Should I go?
I think you should.
What time again? 7 to 9?
And you should say that Barry Bonds doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame because his hair fell out.
Oh, you want me to try out?
Yeah.
Maybe I should try out to see if I should host on Monday when you go for the golf outing, Joe.
That?
You and Mackie can have a host off. What?
Did you check on that about his opportunity on Monday?
No, I don't care.
Ask?
All I care
he
about.
He doesn't care about me, Bob. He cares about if he can just get out of work to go
exactly.
golf.
Exactly. Craig said I can play. After that, I completely abdicate my show responsibilities.
All right. Well, I'm going to walk right down to Craig's office right after this segment, and we'll see if maybe I'll host on Monday.
All right.
All right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.